Good morning, ladies. I trust that you had a great opening with your small group discussing all those questions. We're in for a treat today. Our dear friend Linda Brown is going to be bringing the lecture, and so I'm just so excited. Linda is a godly woman. I just count her a mentor and a dear friend that I've been blessed to and encouraged by as I've prayed with Linda on various occasions in private, and I've just learned so much from her, and I'm just so excited about what she has for us today. I know that we're all going to be blessed. I want to pray for Linda as we get started, and then just really excited to hear what God has given her for us from Acts chapter 15. So, Linda, let me pray for you, and then we'll get started. Father God, we love you. We are just so grateful for this group of women that have gathered here today, that we can study your word, that we can learn from one another, and think deeply and thoughtfully about this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 15. And as the believers, the early believers, struggled with that call to righteousness and what could very easily skim over to legalism and wanting to walk in freedom in Christ and not be loose with the scripture. And so, Father, as we bring that all the way forward today, and we have that same struggle of wanting to live righteous lives and live lives of righteousness, but lives that honor you and find our freedom in Christ, as we have that tension and that struggle in our lives, I pray for a takeaway for all of us, that we would be challenged and equipped to live powerful, effective lives for you and for your glory. Thank you for Linda Brown, the woman that you have created her to be, her love for you, her love for the word. God, I just pray blessing over her today. God, I pray that you would put your thoughts in her mind, your words on her tongue, your love in her heart as she shares this passage of scripture. God, thank you for her careful and prayerful preparation. And I know that what comes from her lips is anointed because it comes from you. You are good and precious and wonderful. And God, if there's something in Linda's notes you don't want shared, I know that you will redirect her. If there's something that comes into her heart or her mind that wasn't in her notes and that's prompted by the Holy Spirit, then we just pray that that would come out. But for all of us, I just pray that we would listen and receive and own what we hear and then leave here intentional and determined to live that out all for your glory. Bless my friend and use her and equip her for your glory and bless all of us as we listen always and always. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. Okay, can everybody hear me back there? Not loud enough? Okay. It was interesting that Laura said, you know, for me to say what God puts in my mouth, the words. And I prayed that prayer that, okay, God, I've studied. Man, do I have a respect for Laura. I've studied and I've prayed. And my prayer was, okay, God, if I'm prepared, I've got these notes and everything that I feel like you've spoke through me. But if there's something that you want me to say that's not in the notes, if it's different, then speak to me about that. And he is so faithful to answer prayers. So I thank Laura for what she does every week for us, how she pours into us and teaches us the truth and gives us takeaways that we can actually, we learn it, we love it, and we live it. So I just have a new respect for her. I love her, and she's my friend and my mentor, but she's also gifted. That's not the gift that God gave me. But I'm going to do the best I can because it's all him, not me. So we're going to get started. And turn to your Bibles, and we'll stand as custom, and I'll read the first part. Which I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to start with Acts 14, 26, and read through Acts 15, 2. From Attalia, they sail back to Antioch. Can you hear me like when I step away here? Okay. Where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And then chapter 15, some men from out of town came from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. Okay, so the first principle, and I had some friends pass out the principles to you since we don't have the screen. I'm doing it old school, so you got a takeaway there. But so often have you noticed that spiritual highs often follow, are often followed. Oh, yeah, you can be safe. No, you're going to have to stand the whole time. But spiritual highs are often followed by attacks from Satan. Have you noticed that? That when you go on a mission trip, or your kids go to a camp, camp for a Christian camp, and then they come home and they're on this spiritual high and everything's just great, and then Satan comes in. So this is what I think is happening in the Bible. Here, Paul and Barnabas have been going all over the country and winning Gentiles to Christ, and then here he comes, and they're trying to put a yoke around their neck. So many Gentiles were becoming Christians. Do you think the Jews felt threatened, or maybe it was prideful that they thought, no, you have to be a Jew, you have to be circumcised to be saved? At first, only Jews were Christians. They were all circumcised, and they kept the Old Testament food laws. They believed in keeping God's moral laws, the Ten Commandments, and they believed the Gentiles should do the same to become Christians. This is false Christianity. So principle number two is salvation is by grace through faith alone. But, you know, we don't ask people to be circumcised today to become a believer. But are we guilty of adding something to what Jesus did for us on the cross? Are we judgmental and think there's no way that person could be a Christian? Well, when I was a teen, we had some things put on us. If we went to a movie, that was a no-no, a big no-no. We sure couldn't dance as a Baptist. And we couldn't play cards. It was just, you know, that didn't have anything to do with being saved, but that's what we were taught. Some people think today, there's no way that I can be forgiven for my sins. Well, I've got good news for you. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We can't be good enough to be saved. We can't work our way to heaven. Jesus paid it all on the cross. He made it simple. All we have to do is believe in Him and trust Him. Oh, I had a dream last night. I told my friend. I dreamed that I had my notes, but I didn't have them numbered. And so I got up here and dropped them, and they went everywhere, and I looked like a fool trying to put them back together. So I got up and numbered them. So for those of you who did not know, God called me to raise my two great-grandchildren. And this is where I cry. God is changing me because of this. I'm not the same person that I was. I pray more. I ask God for wisdom, discernment, to fill me with the Holy Spirit, for strength, a lot of strength, to help me think fast on my feet, and for teachable moments. And then I thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. And trust me, I've messed up many times. I don't always get it right. But this particular day, I knew that this was God filling me. It wasn't Linda Brown. Bella and Mikey had just done something. I don't know. I don't remember what they did. But they were both accusing the other that, oh, it's her fault. No, it's his fault. And I didn't see it, so I didn't know whose fault. But I knew what they did. They needed to be punished. So I asked Mikey, I said, well, what do you think? How should I punish Bella? And, oh, man, did he come up with a severe punishment. And I said, oh, okay. Well, Bella, how do you think I should punish Mikey? And she did the same thing. And so I asked him, I said, do you know what grace is? Do you know the definition? No, they didn't know that. And I said, well, I'll just tell you the definition for grace. Grace is unlimited favor. And that's what God gives us when we are saved. We are all sinners, and we deserve to die and be separated from God forever. But God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. God gave us grace. Unmerited favor. We can't earn forgiveness. God just gives us our just forgives us of our sins by grace through faith. And that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you grace. You deserve to be punished for what you did, for your bad behavior. But I'm going to forgive you, and I'm giving you grace. So once in a while, I get those teachable moments, and I want to encourage you to... it doesn't just have to be the mamas. It can be the grandmas. It can be the aunts. It can be a friend. But ask God to speak into you and give you some teachable moments when you're around little children or even teenagers. So principle, I think it's 3. You can't give it out if you aren't filled up. And that's what I've learned, that to give it out to these kids, to give it out to the people that I come across, maybe it's the checkout lady at Walmart, you can't give it out if you don't, I call it sit in Jesus' lap each day and soak it up. And we talked at our table today about learning to listen. Pray, read His Word, but also take time to listen. The text doesn't say that Paul and Barnabas were praying, but I have a feeling that they were praying big prayers. A few weeks ago, we talked about big prayers. And so I know that God hears all of our prayers. He's interested in little prayers. He's interested in our big prayers. But I think what we've been praying for joy is a big prayer. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of things. I don't know the individual things that you have going on your plate, but I know I have things every day that are big prayers to God, and He is faithful to answer. But it's on His timetable, not ours. So I have a feeling they were praying big prayers and that they were filled up. Paul and Barnabas were also bold witnesses. We've been talking about being bold witnesses. They weren't angry or rude. They just stood firm in their belief. Stand firm. You better put on that armor. And they stood firm that salvation is by grace. Are you bold in standing for the truths in the Bible? Are you carefully studying it? Can you explain to someone what grace is? Have you planted seeds and then left the results to God? If not, ask God to bring someone into your path this week so that you can be a bold witness. What do you do when you disagree about biblical doctrine? You call or text a friend or talk to your husband or go to your pastor or your deacon? Or do you just complain? Or do you open your Bible? God's love letter that He left us. The early Christians didn't have the whole Bible like we do. We're so fortunate. You probably have more than one Bible in your house. But we do have the Bible. We have the complete Bible. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for Luke that wrote the study of Acts. It has been so timely for me to study it. Do you know if your church is preaching sound doctrine? We can't know the truth if we don't discipline ourselves to read and study the Bible daily. Do you eat every day? How about eating God's Word? We probably need it worse than we need food. Not probably, we do. Let me encourage you to pray for a desire to learn it, love it, and live it. Do you fall on your knees and pray big prayers, asking God to give you wisdom and discernment? Last week, on the coldest day of the year, which I think was 13 below wind chill, my 11-year-old grandson didn't want to wear a coat to school. And I told him, you have to. I'm in charge. I am the one that tells you what you have to wear. It's my job. And he said, I'm not wearing it. And all the way to school, it was, I don't care. I guess you're not cool if you wear a coat if you're a boy. I know he wants to wear shorts, but he's wearing pants, but he wasn't going to wear his coat. And I mean, I said, okay, then you will be punished. And he said, okay. And I thought, oh dear God, what do I do now? And so I said, well, I'm going to take away your tablet. He loves that tablet. I thought, this will get him. He said, go ahead. So we got to the very last stop to let him out. And I thought, I turned to him and I said, put your coat on. And he got out, threw it on the floor, and said, I'll do it tomorrow. So I was just crushed. And I knew that I had to discipline him, because what if, you know, right now it's a code, but in when he's 13 or 14 or 15, what's it going to be that he says, no, I'm not minding you? So I went home. I had a horrible day. You know, I thought I should have got out of that car and just ran after him and said, here, honey, here's your coat. Or I should have parked the car and went inside his classroom and said, honey, you forgot your coat, and just embarrassed him. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to pray. So I prayed and I prayed and I cried and I couldn't eat. And I said, you know, God, just soften his heart. I love him. You know how much I love him. You know how much I'm trying to point him to you. And I said, would you soften his heart? Would you cause him to repent? And so I just prayed that off and on all day. Didn't really have any peace. I said, tell me how to punish him. I knew I had to do the discipline. And I didn't ever get a clear, you know, word from God. So I get in the pickup line, I pick up Bella, and I'm on my way to pick up him. It's still really, really cold. And Bella says, Granny, there's Mikey. Look at him. He's standing on the corner, jumping up and down, patting his ears, freezing to death. And I thought, thank you, God. He's getting his punishment already. So he didn't even wait for me to get there. He runs and jumps in the car. And he says, oh, Granny, you were right, you were right. I'm freezing. I should have worn my coat. I am so sorry. I apologize. And I said, you know, in my mind, thank you, Lord. But then came to my senses, and I said, that's wonderful, and I forgive you. But you still will have a punishment, because you disobeyed me and you disrespected me. And you're not going to believe what happened next. I mean, this is how God works. He said, well, Granny, I think I deserve to be punished for 2 weeks. I think you should take away all my electronics and the TV. And I'm going, I had to do like that. Keep a straight face, but trust me, I was driving, so it was a little easier. And I said, I think that'd be appropriate. So we go on home, and that was the most wonderful evening we'd had in a long time. TV wasn't on, electronics weren't on, he wasn't doing these game things. We played games, we read the Bible. Well, and I'll tell you that story. Okay, so I said, after we'd had supper and cleaned up, they even helped, you know, with the dishes and all that stuff. Gosh, it was wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So sometimes, you know, good things can come out of bad things if you just give it to God. And so I said, okay, children, go upstairs and get a book. We're going to read 15 minutes each, and we're going to sit on the couch. And if you don't pick out a book, I'm picking out a book. They came back down, and he had his Bible. And I bragged on him, and I said, I'm so glad you did that. And he said, well, you know, Grammy, how you've been praying that I would have the desire to read the Bible every day. I said, yes. And he said, I'm going to start doing that. So God is good. He answers big prayers. He's interested in what we need each day, ladies. So principle 4, God hears and answers our prayers. And you have a handout that has all these principles on there. So now I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. You don't have to turn there, but I just thought this is a reason, one of the reasons why we need to know God's, the Bible. And when I turned there, I had underlined in my Bible a little bit before that, so I'm going to read that. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for each good work. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that just fill your heart with joy? Okay, and then on down to verse 3. For the time will come when men will put up with sound, will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Isn't that scary? Isn't that sobering, ladies? That's just another reason that we need to know what really is true. And the only way to know what really the truth is to read it and study it. So, now I'm going to read 3 and 4. I told Nadine, I forgot my glasses. I told Nadine, if I can't read this, you're going to have to read it. But I think I got it so far. Okay, 3. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Okay, so Bible commentators say that that there was probably 3 meetings, that it wasn't just in one long meeting. So I'm going to go with that in mind. So the first one was a public session. And it says they were received warmly and gave their report. And then in verse 5, it says that some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." Okay, so I think from what the commentator said that the Bible got heated. And so they adjourned the meeting. And then they went to a second meeting that was probably a private meeting. So in verse 6 and 11, the apostles and the elders met to consider the question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through grace by our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are." So, you remember in one of our earlier lessons that Peter went to Cornelius, a Gentile, and that the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and the whole household, and they were saved. They didn't have to be circumcised to be saved. Peter summarized his speech by saying that he agreed with Paul, salvation is by grace. So then the third meeting, the whole church gathered, and they had their final meeting. And that's verse 12 through 21, if you're following along with me. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul, telling about the miraculous signs and wonders of God that God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he was the council chairman, evidently. And they had the same mother, Mary, but they had different fathers. And he didn't become a believer until after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. But he was a strong believer now, and he later wrote the book of James. So he got up and he says, "Brothers, listen to me." He must have been pretty well respected. "Simon has described us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles the people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written," and he quotes from Amos, "After this I will return and build David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, and that have been known for ages." They knew this for ages. God did. "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogue every Sabbath." So, did you notice that Barnabas' name was first? You know, Laura taught us, or pointed out to me, I had never noticed it before, that it switched, you know, that when Paul took over, then he started being listed first. Well, now it switches back and it says they listened to Barnabas and Paul. So I'm thinking that evidently Paul graciously let the older apostle take the lead. And have you ever done that? Have you graciously stepped aside to let someone else lead and receive the blessing? Do you have patience and let your children and your grandchildren, or maybe even your husband, do something differently than the way you would do it? Maybe you peel a potato a certain way and somebody else peels it a different way. Well, there's lots of ways to peel a potato. So, I'm learning patience. I thought I had a lot of patience, but when you're around children, they test your patience. Then I told you about James. Okay. So the council decides to send a letter to the Gentile believers. Verse 22, I'm reading 22 through 35. The apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas and Silas and two men who were leaders among the brothers. With them, they sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to be burdened with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. Then the men were sent off, and they went to Antioch, where they gathered the church together, and they delivered the letter. The people read it, and they were glad about it, and they were encouraged. And Judas and Silas, who themselves were apostles, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers and with the blessings of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of God. Okay, and then this is the second missionary journey. I'm going to skip through, not reading all that, but there was a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas took John Mark, his cousin, with him to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas. God uses disagreements. Oh, wait, I missed one of the principles. So just before they went on the second missionary journey, principle 4 is a heart filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't complain, it encourages. And that's one thing I didn't want to miss, because I want us all to be encouragers. So then, because of this disagreement, God can use disagreements to reach more people for Christ. And that's what happened in this instance. Because they separated, they were able to reach more people. Mm-hmm. Later, Paul showed mutual love and respect for Barnabas, recorded in 1 Corinthians 9:6 and in 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul sends for Mark because he says he is a help to his ministry. So principle 4, or 5, God can use disagreements for his glory. Can you think of a time when you had a disagreement with a fellow believer or a family member? Were you angry, hard-headed, resisting change? Did you watch your tone of voice? Did you agree to disagree? Like what I think Paul and Barnabas probably decided to disagree. Being sensitive to others' feelings and remaining Christ-like. Evidently, they did remain Christ-like, because later it shows how they still had love for each other. Paul and Silas decided to walk from Syria to Cilicia, whatever that is, to Turkey, and then on to Derbe and Lystra, where Paul had been stoned. Remember, he went back to where he had been stoned. So this had to be a God thing that told him to go back there. They shared the letter from Jerusalem Council and encouraged the believers. Do you encourage your children more than you correct them or point out their faults? As a wife, mother, a daughter, and a grandparent, or an aunt, are you an encourager? And then Acts 16, 1 through 5. This was the problem. I'm not going to read the verses. You can go home and read. You've already read the verses, so you know what's going to happen. Paul saw potential in Timothy, and he wanted to take him along with him, but he was a half-breed. His mother Eunice was a Jew, and his dad was a Greek. He was a Gentile. And Timothy had not been circumcised. Since Timothy was a half-Jew, Paul decided he needed to be circumcised to remove some of the stigma he might have with the Jews, since all Jews were circumcised. And Timothy willingly went along with that. And then Acts 16, 6 through 10. How do you determine the will of God? In your study guide, it lists seven ways, and they're really good, to determine the will of God. But for me, Laura spoke of it before, I don't have peace and joy until I feel like I'm doing God's will. And so I just keep praying, you know, okay. And sometimes he answers yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. And the waiting is hard. It's easier for him to say no and close the doors than to just have to wait. But during that time, I have to search the scriptures and pray and listen for God to speak to me through his word and through his spirit. Are you doing God's will today? Do you know how to be Christ-like and settle disagreements? Do you watch your tone of voice? Do you watch your body language? I mean, our body language can, we can be saying something out of our mouth and our body language is saying completely different. Do you believe the scriptures that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, but keep trying to work out your way to heaven? Do you soak up God's word? Do you think this is a spa where we just come and we just soak up his word and it's just going to radiate at us? It doesn't work like that. It's good to come to Bible study. I think that's very important. I've learned so much from Bible study. But God requires that we soak it up so that we can give it out, so that we can be changed. He's changing us all through the Bible by reading and studying and living it. We're changing. We're becoming not who we were yesterday, but a better person. So I think if God was through with me, evidently I'm not there yet, I would be in heaven. So when he's through with us, he's going to come and get us and take us to heaven. Are you an encourager? If you answered no to any of these questions, pray to God and he will answer you. Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for these words from your Bible. I call it your love letter that you left for us. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you don't give up on us, that you keep changing us, and that you keep coming alongside us. You go before us. You hear our prayers. Thank you that we can come here and worship before we work. Help us to trust you and obey you. Thank you that we are saved by salvation alone, through faith alone. Thank you for Paul and Barnabas, who are such wonderful examples of how we want to be. We want to be bold witnesses for you. Now go with these ladies and multiply their time because they've given their time to study your word. Bless them with a good day, a godly day, and fill them with your spirit. And then as I pray for my children, I pray that others will see Jesus in me. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ladies, join me. Well, Linda Brown has fed us well and given us a lot to think about today. And you know, when I think about chapters like Acts chapter 15 and the Word of God, it should convince all of us that the Word of God is true. If you and I were trying to put together some sort of religious club and we were going to decide what was in there, we wouldn't put in the bad stuff, right? We would want it all to be rosy and wonderful. But when we see that even leaders have sharp disagreements and things aren't perfect, even with the people that are supposed to be the good guys, it adds a credibility of truth to it. And it makes us realize, oh, they are real people. And we're all saved but flawed. And so there's hope for me too. And so as we work, look at the way that even Paul, the great apostle Paul, had to work out his salvation and pray and forgive and make these choices. And we realize that even godly people then and godly people now can have disagreements. And it's not always obvious, but we keep praying for that peace and joy. I love Linda's practical examples of how she's taking the word of God and praying and pouring into her great grandchildren. Isn't that extraordinary? We're all challenged to do hard things. And raising our own children is difficult. And some of us are in a place where we, through circumstances, may be raising our grandchildren. But Linda Brown is the only woman I know who has been called and is following in obedience to raise her great-grandchildren. And Mikey and Bella, their lives are being transformed because of this woman with her love for Jesus and how she's praying. She's equipped us with some very practical examples. And I hope you heard and received that, mommies and grandmommies. But she gives all the glory to God. Isn't it extraordinary? I just want to pray for Linda and for her too as we wrap up. Lord Jesus, thank you for my friend Linda, for how you have filled her because she has, as she says, sat in your lap every day. She has sat at your feet. She's learned from you. You have filled her up, and she's choosing to walk in obedience, making certain sacrifices, travel plans and sleeping in and taking on the rearing and training of young children is difficult, and it's a physical challenge. And she has said yes to your call. And God, we just see that day by day, Bella and Mikey's lives are totally different than what they would be. We just pray blessing over the two of them. God, I pray that you would continue to fill and equip Linda with your word. Give her extraordinary creativity as she walks in such wisdom in knowing where to press in and discipline, where to extend grace, how to parent these two well. And God, we thank you that because Mikey knows you as his Savior, that the Holy Spirit abides in him. And Father, that he even walked in repentance and asked for forgiveness and was even so hard on himself, harder than even his parent, his great-grandmother would have been to him. But we know that's the Holy Spirit bringing that conviction. I, Father, just thank you in advance for how you're going to use Mikey and Bella in service to your kingdom. I pray that both of them would grow to be a man and a woman of God that would want to walk in your ways always, would make their mark on their generation. As Linda sharpens that arrow and releases them into the future and into time and into places and people that she will never encounter, I just pray that the word of God would be rich in their lives, that they would own it and love it and want to live it, and you would use them in a mighty and powerful way to make a mark for the gospel and the kingdom of Jesus Christ on their generation. Thank you for today and for the lessons that you have taught us. Let us go forth and be obedient, faithful servants to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, ladies.
You're welcome.